3 of the Movies Anytime podcast. Just like before, we're going to be going pretty much in the same order. I kind of feel like this is, we're on the third episode in, and I feel like at this point, this is a good format for it, until I decide to change it maybe later down the line or something like that. But I feel like this is a good format, so we're going to be talking about some trailers, some pickups, and I don't have anything music related to talk about this week, so I will at that point go into my reviews and thoughts of some stuff that I saw this week. But first of all, we're going to start with the trailers segment. We're going to be talking about a trailer called Earthquake Bird, which I didn't really have any expectations for. I just saw that it had Alicia Vikander in it, I believe is her name. She played in the most recent Tomb Raider movie, and I believe they're making a sequel. And I enjoy it. I thought that movie was okay, but I did like her in it. I thought her performance was good, so I figured I'd go and watch this trailer, see what it was like. And it just kind of seemed okay. It just kind of seemed like a kind of thriller drama movie. Didn't really seem to be doing anything like too unique or anything like that, but it does look like it's gonna do what it does well. I do like the kind of the setting that it's taking place. I believe in, I don't know if it's specifically Tokyo, but in Japan. I do kind of like that setting. And every once in a while I do get in a mood to see a movie like that, so I will probably give it a watch. It just doesn't look too fantastic to me. It doesn't really look like it stands out in any particular way. Another trailer that I saw was for a horror movie, which I get progressively just less and less interested in seeing any horror movies just because they don't, not a lot of horror movies really do it for me anymore. It especially kind of irritated me when I saw It Chapter 2 and it seemed like mostly a comedy, and not so much a horror movie. But The Turning does have Finn Wolfhard in it. He was in the new It movies, of course, Stranger Things, and he's a really good actor, especially for being, you know, as young as he is. He is a good actor. I can't really say though that the movie itself looked too interesting. It kind of just seemed like a very run-of-the-mill horror movie. It especially seemed like something, you know, Blumhouse would do. I don't think they are, I don't know if in particular they have their hands in this movie or not, but it does feel like a Blumhouse movie, at least from the trailer. It didn't really seem like, the trailer did also kind of seem a little vague, I will be honest. The trailer did seem vague, so if the movie has any surprises, hopefully it'll be left for the movie when it comes out in theaters, and hopefully they're not going to give it away in the trailer, like any subsequent trailers or anything like that. Hopefully they do just keep the surprises for when the movie does come out into theaters. But other than that, just the trailer was kind of bland. It was kind of vague. It didn't really show too much about maybe what the movie was going to be about or what the movie has in store. But from that trailer, it just seemed kind of okay. I didn't look like immediately bad to me. It just kind of looked okay. The next one is we finally got a full we got a full trailer for the new I believe it's Pixar movie Onward, featuring the voices of Chris Pratt and Tom Holland, seemingly playing like two brothers. And I don't know too much about this movie. I haven't kept up with it a whole lot. I just watched the trailer. Past that, I don't really know anything about the movie at all, to be honest. But it did. From the poster that they released, and like I believe they did like a little teaser, the movie didn't seem to be all that interesting to me, but the trailer kind of turned me around on it a little bit. I really liked the idea of this almost fairy tale world. I don't know exactly what they are, what the main people are in this movie. I don't know if they're like pixies or whatever, but I do like the fact that it's kind of like a fairy tale world, but it's kind of mixing with like kind of modern era style stuff, like cars and corporate buildings and stuff like that. Like I was really surprised to see like just, you know, roads and traffic and you know, like modern day stuff in this kind of almost fairy tale world. It seems like the fairy tale aspect, the magic, is kind of disappearing from this world in a kind of way. And The world seems interesting to me. I don't know about the immediate story of them trying to meet their father or whatever. It'll probably be a nice heartwarming story or whatever. But that in and of itself doesn't get me too interested. It's going to be the adventure that leads up to that that's going to be interesting for me. But the trailer did kind of seem a little interesting. I think Tom Holland and Chris Pratt did very well voicing in those roles. Tom Holland seems to be doing a lot of voicing roles lately. He's doing this. He's doing that one movie, Spies in Disguise, I think is what it's called, with Will Smith. He is doing a voice in shit. I think he's doing a voice in the new Doolittle movie too, which we're going to talk about that trailer. But I believe he's doing a voice of one of the animals in that movie too. Like he's doing a lot of voice work, it seems like. But the trailer did kind of turn me around. I'm interested to see this world that it's in, kind of just this magical world, but also in the middle of it's kind of losing its magic. I do kind of like that idea. Just like when kind of a little bit off topic, but like Final Fantasy 15, it's kind of like in this weird magical world, but it was still like really modern in a way. Like everyone's still driving cars and stuff like that. Like I like that idea. So I actually may give this movie a watch in theater. I was thinking like I'll probably see it sometime down the line in the future. Wasn't gonna go out of my way to see it, but I may see this in theater, or at the very least, I may watch it when it comes out on Blu-ray. And they really got me interested with that trailer. The next trailer, it's actually the second trailer for this movie, I believe, but I haven't had the opportunity to talk about it here on the podcast. That's the new Charlie's Angels movie. I really have no hopes for this movie. I'm gonna watch it just because I'm curious. Pure curiosity has got me on this one. I just want to see the movie based off of pure curiosity. I want to see if it's gonna be like super, super bad or anything like that. It doesn't particularly look great. I don't think the movie is going to really offend me in any way. I don't think it's going to be quite that terrible, but I have no real hopes that it's going to be like a good movie. I just think it'll be okay. I'm not sure how I feel about the cast. And I don't know, like Kristen Stewart's in it. And she, a lot of people have opinions about her. I don't mind her as an actor, honestly. Other than the Twilight movies, like anything she's been in outside of the Twilight movies, for the most part, I've liked her in, and I want to see her, in the movie that's coming out in January, I believe. Underwater, I believe, is just what it's called. That movie kind of looks a little interesting, and I do want to see that. But for the most part, I like Kristen Stewart as an actor. Seems like she's being pretty, like, overly sexualized in this movie, which I'm sure I'm not too familiar with Charlie's Angels in the first place. But I'm sure maybe that's how her character's supposed to be. Maybe, but it just seems kind of weird. I don't know if it's like I understand if a character needs to be like if a woman character needs to be sexualized in certain situations, but it seems like they are over-sexualizing her in this movie. Like she's being really weird and sexualized in every single possible situation. Like every time she's on camera, she is being sexualized in some sort of way, and that just seems a little weird. I don't really have a problem with it. It just seems weird that they would go in that direction, especially in this current day, in this current climate. The next one is Jungle Cruise, this new Disney movie with The Rock and Emily Blunt. It looked okay. It looked just all right. I'm curious. I would like to see more about the deeper story because the immediate story they presented in this trailer didn't seem all that interesting. But it's, I don't know, it looked okay. I'll probably give it a watch when it comes out on Blu-ray. I don't see myself seeing it in theaters. The movie didn't look like it was going to blow me away or anything, but it did look like it could be just a fun time. I do really like Emily Blunt, and The Rock can play in some pretty entertaining movies at times, but other than that, it just seemed, I don't know, and it seems kind of interesting to me, The Rock kind of playing like a con artist sort of character. So we'll have to see how that goes, but I think the movie will be okay. I don't really have too many expectations for it. I don't really have any expectations for it, to be honest, but hopefully it'll be decent. And admittedly, this next movie I do kind of have some expectations for. The new Doolittle movie, which is a new kind of reboot from the Dr. Doolittle movies, from with Eddie Murphy back in the day. I believe the 90s, right? The 90s, maybe the early 2000s, but I do have some expectations for this movie because I really like Robert Downey Jr. Even outside of the Avengers and all the Marvel stuff, I really like Robert Downey Jr. I think he's a fantastic actor. I really love the Judge and the Sherlock Holmes movies. I think he's just fantastic, and I want this movie to be just really good, and I hope it is. And I have to be honest, the original Dr. Dolittle movie with Eddie Murphy, the first one, I love that movie. Even to this day, I really love that movie. I watched it a lot when I was a kid, and it just was super funny to me. There was something about that movie and the comedy in that movie that just made me laugh every time I watched it. I really loved that movie. I don't remember the second one all too well. I don't remember really liking that one too much, and I don't remember if it was the third one or not, but there was one with his daughter. She grew up and kind of started talking to animals and stuff like that, and I never watched that one. I never wanted to, but the original one with Eddie Murphy, I do really like. And yeah, I just hope this movie's really good. The trailer didn't really show a whole lot. It seemed like the concentration for this trailer mainly came into the world that the movie is set in and the cast of like animals and stuff like that. It didn't really seem to present too much of the actual story or really give anything away. It just really wanted to show kind of the world, the set pieces, and stuff like that. So the trailer didn't really do anything to impress me, but I do appreciate the fact that the trailer didn't do anything to make me automatically hate it as well. Because that could have easily have happened. They could have easily have made me hate this movie right out of the gate. But they didn't do that, so that's a good thing for me. I do appreciate that they did that. So that is nice, and it's nice to see, because it's been a hot minute since we've seen Robert Downey Jr. play in anything not Marvel related. Like The Judge was a handful of years ago, and I believe that was the last thing he did that wasn't Marvel related. So it's gonna be nice seeing him in something again, and I really hope we are getting. I think it has been confirmed, but I don't want to say anything for sure. But I really do hope that we are getting that third Sherlock movie, which as I crush my can. I really hope we get it, even though it from last I heard it's not going to be directed by Guy Ritchie. I know Guy Ritchie is currently doing his current movie, which is probably done. It's being edited, I'm sure, or it's in the post-production phases. But what was that movie called? The Gentleman? Is that what it was called? I can't remember, but that movie looks really good as well. So I'm still kind of sad that Guy Ritchie isn't going to be directing this. The third Sherlock movie, if that is indeed true, which it probably is, if the movie is happening, which hopefully it is. But that kind of saddens me a little bit. But hopefully, if we can just get Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law just on screen again, the movie will just be fantastic either way. But I'm curious to see how this Doolittle movie is going to be. I would have to imagine that there has to be something about this movie that made Robert Downey Jr. want to do it, so hopefully that'll show in the movie. There was another one I just watched yesterday called Bombshell, that I was curious about because it has a pretty crazy cast. Margot Robbie, who I'm not a big fan of, I don't know, she seems to be getting a lot of like fandom within the last several years and stuff like that, and she has not convinced me that she is worth paying attention to yet. That could change. Even though I've never seen her in a role that I've hated, she's just never blown me away. But she was in this movie, and Charlize Theron was in this movie, and some other chick, I cannot remember her name, but I really like Charlize Theron. I think she's a fantastic actor. And Margot Robbie, you know, again, I don't really have any opinions on her either way, but this movie seemed to be kind of just like a drama movie about like Fox News and stuff like that, and all this weird stuff. This movie did not interest me at all. I'll be honest, it did not pique my interest at all. It looked really boring. I did not like the subject matter that it was talking about with, Fox News and how the news kind of is just. I thought it was kind of funny how there was a lady, she had some dialogue in the trailer talking about, how the news actually works. That I thought was kind of funny and a little clever. But overall, the movie didn't really interest me. Not caring about it too much. I'm assuming it's a movie that's going to get a lot of praise and is going to get maybe some awards buzz or something like that. But overall, the movie didn't really interest me. It looked kind of boring. That's not really a movie. Typically, I say this, typically, when I watch a movie, I watch it because I want to escape for a little bit, for about 2 hours. I want to escape. I want to watch something entertaining. Now, of course, every once in a while, I do watch some pretty serious movies. I saw movies like Joker last week, which was fantastic, and that was a pretty serious movie. There was some serious kind of subject matter in that movie, but I do like watching some serious movies, but for the most part, like, it's very easy for serious movies to lose me and just keep me uninterested in what's going on. And that seems like one of those movies where it's just not going to be interesting enough for me to want to dedicate some time to watch it. Yeah, and that's basically it. I don't know why exactly. Maybe it's based on a true story. I wasn't really paying attention that closely, but I don't really understand. From watching the trailer, I just didn't really understand why the movie would exist. Because, I mean, everything in that trailer was like everything everybody knows. Like, the news is bullshit, so I don't know what message the movie is trying to get across. Maybe there is some true story thing behind it or whatever that I would need to look into further, which I probably won't do because I have no interest. But, I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure that movie looks like a typical movie that'll get some awards buzz or something. I don't remember seeing a release date for the movie when I saw the trailer, but it does look like one of those movies that's going to get some typical release buzz and whatnot and be loved by critics and whatnot. But we'll see. We're going to go and move on to the next segment, which is the pickups. I'm going to go ahead and take a real quick drink here. And we're going to talk about my first pickup. Which is which they're both anime. The first one is I've never really known how to pronounce it, but Golden Kamuy. I'm not really sure if that's right or not, but Golden Kamuy season 2. That's just what I'm gonna call it. Season 2 Blu-ray did just come out, released by Funimation, and I did get the first set, which they only released in like a limited edition. They didn't release the first season in just a regular Blu-ray or anything. They only did it in like a limited edition. So I do have that one, and I ordered it from Right Stuff, so it came with like a coin or something in it. But I do have season 1 and season 2 now, so I can actually start watching that because I don't consider it to be two separate seasons because I believe the first season aired in like the beginning of the year, and then the second season 2, air quotes, came out later in the year. So I don't really consider them two separate seasons. Like, they came out in the same year. May as well just be one season. So that's kind of what I consider it to be one season. So I waited for season, again, quotes, 2 to come out on Blu-ray, and then I would start watching it. So I'll get to watching that here soon, hopefully. Same thing with Tokyo Ghoul Re. I need to start that, but I've been kind of neck deep in Reborn lately, and I just finished Into the Badlands season 3. So, but I did get Golden Kamuy season 2. I'm super excited to watch that because I read the manga like a while ago, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. And that was like a while ago, so I don't remember a whole lot about it, but I'm excited to watch the anime because I really liked it, and the art and animation looked fantastic. And I believe a season 3 was announced, so that is really cool as well. I'll be able to look forward to that. The next thing I picked up was Genius Party and Genius Party Beyond Blu-ray released by G Kids and Shout Factory, I believe. And I don't know too much about it, other than I believe it's just like a compilation of short films made by some notable names in the anime industry. Other than that, I don't know too much about it, but anytime I can get a Blu-ray set of some anime short films, I always try to get it because you get some really cool ideas and concepts in these short films that are really interesting to watch. The Modest Heroes one was really good, especially the one with the invisible guy. I thought was a really cool short film in that kind of set. So I really like short films, so anytime I can get them on Blu-ray, I try to do that, especially when they come in anime form. I try to do that as well, and I believe this one is pretty long. I believe it was like 160 some odd minutes or something like that last time I checked, so it is pretty long. There's probably a good amount of short films in there because I believe it's basically a compilation of two series of short films with Genius Party and Genius Party Beyond, so really excited to check it out. I don't really know anything more about it, though, to be honest. I have not looked into it too much. Just like I said, when I see short films in anime, I'm like, purchase. So that's pretty much all I did for that one. I don't really know anything about it. And plus, G Kids and Shout Factory, I trust them. They've been releasing some fantastic stuff lately, and I'm super glad to be able to add it to my shelf. So really happy about that. That's it for my pickups. I do have a few things that I kind of want to talk about, some sort of impressions and reviews and stuff like that. This one I probably won't spend too much time on because I did talk about it last week, and my opinions on it are pretty much the same, to be honest. I did watch season one of Doom Patrol, and I did finish it, and holy Jesus H. Christ, I really freaking loved it. Doom Patrol was super fucking good. I really hate the fact that it was kind of in a limbo stage for so long before it got renewed for a season two, and Titans was the only one that got renewed. Granted, there was, Titans came out first, there was more time in between them to like decide that sort of stuff, but like, man, Doom Patrol was so good. Like, I enjoyed Titans. I thought it was all right. I'd probably give it like somewhere in the range of a 7 out of 10, but like Doom Patrol was just so fucking good and so hilarious, and it's so out there. I just found it to be super fucking interesting. I really love how just wacky the show can be, but super serious at the same time. Like, most of the time it is pretty wacky, but you get episodes where like Robot Man, Brendan Fraser's character, goes into the underground. Like, that episode was fantastic. There was not an episode in this show that wasn't great. All the characters are great. I mean, some characters can be annoying. Like, Cyborg can be annoying at times. Like, his character seems to go back and forth between being like, bossy and in your face, but then also has some really low moments. It's like they didn't know exactly what they wanted to do with that character at times. Jane, she can be kind of a back and forth character, but she's almost kind of supposed to be because she has like 60 some odd personalities in her, all with their own kind of power or whatever, so she's almost sort of meant to be that way. But man, like, other than those small complaints, I don't really have too many other complaints about the show. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I really like some of the things that they did. Like, even with Jane, you get to see her other personalities at parts. Like, when you go into the underground, you actually get to see the personalities, like these different actors and stuff like that, like these representations of these personalities. And man, they did so many interesting things with this show. I was smiling every episode, every time I watched this show, man. I was smiling. I freaking loved this show. It was so good. I felt like they could have maybe done a little bit more with Larry. I feel like that was kind of like, I mean, it's a little deeper than this, but for the most part, it's like, oh, he's sad because he's gay, and he has to, it takes him a while to come to terms with that and to come out because, because of the time he grew up and the time that he's from, the 50s, was really looked down upon. So, like, I understand, but, like, you get to a point where it's like, dude, come on, just get over it. Come on. But they, when they, even with that small complaint on that character, they commit to it and they flesh it out at the end, and it's, man, it's fantastic. Such great comedy in this show. Largely, and I'll admit, coming from Brendan Fraser's character, Robot Man. Brendan Fraser can still fucking act, man. It's been quite a while since he's been like in the limelight, and I'm really glad he gets the opportunity to be in the show and be in the show for a second season because he just knocked it out of the park with this show. I think he did such a great job, like acting wise. He's still got it. For the most part, all the actors did a fantastic job. I really like the actor that plays Larry, Matt Bomer, I believe his name is. He's played in a few movies, some TV shows. I've known about him for a while. I think he's a great actor. The other actors I don't know too well, but they all did fantastic. I think they all did a good job. Even with some of my character complaints from like Cyborg and stuff like that, he is a good actor. He did a really good job. I thought the ending of the show was funny. I thought even just the wacky ideas they have in this show with like Danny the Street, which is going to be some slight spoilers in here. It's been out for a little bit. But like just some crazy ideas they had with Danny the Street I thought was funny. I liked the way they kind of worked Mr. Nobody and his kind of narration and stuff like that. The show is just, it's really well done, and it amazed me how much they concentrated on its characters. Like, this show is mainly a character show. Like, and you'll realize by the time you get to the end, like, not really a whole lot in terms of like an immediate story happened. Like, it seems like the story itself kind of takes a back seat to the show just trying to concentrate on its characters, and that could be seen as a bad thing. I can understand why people would want more story, and they do kind of put more of that in there in the last handful of episodes, but man, the characters are what drive this show, and they're all super just fantastic, hilarious. Them fighting Nazis in the first, couple episodes. Like one of Jane's characters can say words and turn them into weapons. Like, just so many cool ideas about this show. I would recommend this show to anybody. It is so good. It's my favorite DC show that I've seen. Like, even everything from the CW, which I've not seen Batwoman yet, which I kind of want to check out. I will watch that at some point eventually, maybe when it comes out on DVD or whatever. But I do want to see that. But out of everything like CW related or that DC has done up to this point with Titans, I think Doom Patrol is my favorite thing they've done. I still want to see Swamp Thing, which I know they canceled, unfortunately, but I heard like Swamp Thing got fantastic rave reviews too, and everybody loved it, so I want to see that. Maybe Swamp Thing, because I really like Swamp Thing anyway. Maybe Swamp Thing will kind of go head to head with Doom Patrol, maybe beat it out, we'll see. But I really did enjoy Doom Patrol a lot, and I really highly recommend anybody check it out. If you s like I can understand if you don't want to subscribe to another streaming service or whatever. Especially when the DC Universe app or whatever it is seems to be going to be shutting down, and it's going to be changing this thing because Warner Brothers and its parent companies and whatever just can't make up their mind. But if you see it on like DVD or Blu-ray at Walmart or something, just please pick it up. It is so, so good. You will not be upset that you watched it. It's 15 episodes of just some great fucking television, and I would highly recommend anybody watch it. It is so good. The next thing I want to talk about is Into the Badlands season 3, which was the final season. I do really like Into the Badlands. I really like just the idea of these barons kind of ruling over the Badlands, and then you get a little bit of lore about, the land and stuff outside of the Badlands and stuff like that. But I do like that there's no guns, you're fighting, so you see like a lot of kung fu action in this series. A lot of, wire work, which they do hide relatively well. it's not as good as like what they're doing in Hong Kong, because they've kind of, like these Hong Kong kung fu movies, because they've kind of perfected that shit. They've been doing it a long time. But Into the Badlands does it well enough, and it's a very interesting show with great fucking characters, especially with Nick Frost's introduction in season two. I really loved his character coming into the show and how he progressively gets a more interesting backstory as the show goes on, especially towards, the end of season three. But talking about specifically about season three, I thought season three was really good. I do have some problems with it. I don't think it's quite as good as season two. I think season two was just a more overall solid season. But overall, season three was really good. It was really well paced. I think it's a lot of some of the problems I have with season three is that it's a lot of going back and forth between the same places. There's not really any new places to discover in season three, except for this the island that Pilgrim finds, which there'll be some spoilers in here as well because this has been out for a while. It's released on Blu-ray, so it sat long enough that I can talk about some spoilers, I think. But when Pilgrim finds the island, that's really only the new place they kind of show in the season. The rest of the time, they're going back and forth between kind of barren-owned lands, the temple monastery place, and this I believe the town they went to was new. Actually, now that I think about it, I don't remember that town being in season two. It's been a hot minute since I've seen season two, but I think the town might have been new. I don't remember. But overall, a really fantastic season. Like, it really, season three does keep up momentum for the most part of just being, really interesting story, which they do, they really expand the story in season three quite a bit, really answer some questions, show some backstory of Sonny and where he came from and stuff like that, introducing some new characters and their backstories. Like, the story aspect of season three is definitely much stronger. So everything that like Into the Badlands does or did, they did really well in this season, I think. Like, it's very solid. The things that unfortunately the season kind of failed at was like MK is still fucking pointless. Like, his character still pisses me off. His character was the most annoying fucking thing in the whole season. Like, every time they put him on camera, I just wanted to violently convulse because his character does fucking nothing. There's no motivation for his character other than getting revenge, and even that revenge only jumps back and forth between characters. Like, he never resolves anything, and it's just because baby misses his mama. Like, he needs to get over it. I swear to God, he pissed me off so much. I could rant on him for 3 hours and still not be done because he never accomplishes anything. He has a freaking flashback and near the beginning of the season and sees that it was Sonny that killed his mom. And then he spends the rest of the season hating Sonny when he can clearly see that the Pilgrim is doing some fucked up shit, but he doesn't care because he baby's just sad that mama's gone. And like, I know that's gonna be sad, but like, dude, at a certain point you gotta fucking get over it, for Christ's sake. And then another one of my main complaints with the season is near the second half, the widow, she kind of jumps back and forth, like, on whether she thinks it's all worth it or not, and, whether it's worth all this fighting and bloodshed to free the Badlands and stuff like that, even though just prior she got confirmation of her belief to free the Badlands and stuff. Like, bitch needs to stop jumping around between what she believes or not. Just like, you went on this whole journey with Nick Frost and getting this lady to bring her back to the temple, and it kind of reaffirmed your belief that what you were doing was kind of needed. But then all of a sudden, just because you're pregnant, you're fucking having second thoughts and stuff like that. Like, I understand being pregnant's gonna give you some second thoughts and you're gonna kind of be thinking about it more. But it's like, overall, just you being pregnant, especially very, 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 very early days of being pregnant, would that really conflict like your mindset that much? I don't think so. And like, I know season 3 was extended to 16 episodes because they knew it was going to be the last season. But the ending, like, I don't know what they were doing with the ending because they ended it and they extended the season because they knew it was going to be the last season so they could give it like an ending from what I understand. But the ending is still super fucking open, like. And if they're going to bring it back later down the line, why fucking cancel it in the first place? Because here's Sonny is presumably dead, but he's not dead. He has an opportunity to go back to, to go back to the real world or come back to life or whatever, but he has something to do first because he has that vision with the master or whatever in this place that's in between life and death. And then that just ends there. So we don't know what's going on with Sonny. We see the and then the guy the that one guy who was asleep that got woken up with the needles finds a gun in the sand. Like, okay, I can kind of understand that as an ending, but like it becomes less acceptable paired with the whole Sunny thing. Like, you can't leave me guessing whether or not Sonny is alive or dead, and then you can't just start introducing fucking guns. Like, come on, that is not the way to end the season. And I know those are some pretty big complaints, but still, don't let those complaints outweigh the good in the show. For the most part, the storytelling is fantastic. The action is great. I love the world and the cast of characters. And once you get the kind of the backstory and you start seeing some kind of flashbacks of Azra and stuff like that, like the show just gets much more interesting. And I highly recommend you check it out, especially since it's only 3 seasons. You'll blaze through it pretty quickly, but you'll have a fun time from front to back. And it is just a super good freaking show. And there is one more thing I want to talk about. This podcast is probably going to be a little bit shorter than the others, but there is one more thing I want to talk about, and that is just real quick. Call of Duty Mobile was released for iOS and Android, and I did try it out, and I kind of wanted to give my thoughts on that real quick because I've not gotten Black Ops 4 because I just didn't care enough to do that. But for the most part, I have played pretty much every Call of Duty. I've been a huge Call of Duty fan just because I like playing it with my friends. I've never played it like deeply or anything like that, but I do like to play it casually with my friends and stuff like that. And I have to give them some credit with Call of Duty Mobile and how fluid it is and how well made it is. It is well made. It looks, great for being on a mobile device. They do frequently show and tell you about microtransactions, but they don't really shove it in your face, and they don't make it feel completely necessary, which is nice to see. Activision and the Chinese developers show some restraint on the microtransactions, even though it is a very, 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 very little amount of restraint. At least there is some. You got 2 modes right now, the Battle Royale, which I did not play because I don't like Battle Royale, to be honest. It's not my thing. But I did play the multiplayer a little bit, and I believe there is apparently a zombies mode that is supposed to be coming out at some point. But I did play the multiplayer, and it worked pretty well. I mean, I didn't have many two complaints. They have a nice variety of maps in there, spanning from a bunch of Call of Duties. Of course, they have like fucking Nuketown in there because Nuketown's in every fucking Call of Duty. I'm tired of that map, man. Like, just leave it alone. Like, I can understand, it was in Black Ops 1. Bring it back for Black Ops 2, just for shits and giggles. But every other like Black Ops game after that, like, come on, man, a little much. I think it might have even expanded into some other Call of Duties. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's just like, come on, stop with that goddamn map already. But it was nice kind of seeing these other maps in there, and from what I understand, I've seen a good bit of footage from the Battle Royale mode. It seems like the Battle Royale map for Call of Duty Mobile is kind of made up of many different existing Call of Duty maps. Like, I saw one guy go up the building from Crash, so I thought that was pretty cool that they did that. And overall, I mean, it plays well on my iPhone XR. It plays well. It's always going to be a little difficult getting used to the controls and stuff like that, you know, just being on the touch screen. Especially when there's so many buttons on the screen. There's so many buttons. And just on a touch screen, getting used to and you can change the placement of all these things, but just still getting used to a touch screen and getting used to, you know, pressing like crouch and stand and shoot and stuff like that. They do have two different firing modes, which is cool. The advanced firing mode is better than the basic one. So I would keep that in mind if you guys are going to play it. Try the advanced mode. I think you'll like it more. But it's a little difficult getting used to. But I don't know how they could have done it better. As of right now, I believe it originally had controller support, but they took it away, and I saw something about like they may bring it back, but with its own separate like matchmaking thing or whatever. So that'll be interesting, I guess, if they do that, because I believe you can play the game on PC as well, and I believe it has its own separate matchmaking. So you can't have like PC players playing with mobile players or anything like that. So, but for the most part, the game plays well. It runs well. I haven't had any problems. The microtransactions don't seem to be too intrusive. The gameplay is fine. It's just gonna, again, you gotta take a while to get used to the touch screen. And especially with there being just so many buttons on screen, it takes quite a while to get used to, I will say. But for the most part, it played pretty well. I was pretty surprised at how well it worked, and I think it'll be fun for people to just kind of take on the go. Especially if people are tired with the whole, you know, loot boxes and stuff on console being, you know, shoved in your face all the time. I think Call of Duty Mobile could be a good kind of alternative to that because it doesn't seem like they shove it in your face. But I think that's about all I have to say on it. It's like it's pretty decent. Like it's probably better than you think it would be. I would say give it a shot and give it, you know, a few hours, get used to the controls and stuff like that, and see what you think, because I think the highest hurdle to get past is going to be the controls, especially since there is no controller support. But I think if you give it a shot, give it a few hours, I think there might be something there for you, especially if you're a huge Call of Duty fan, and you have a decent phone. I think there's something there for you. But that is all I have for this episode of the Movies Anytime podcast. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in and listening. I will be back next week to talk about some more stuff. I know I missed a trailer that I saved, but I forgot to watch. A new movie with Adam Driver in it. So I'll probably talk about that next week because I forgot to add it to my list here. But thank you all so much for tuning in. I hope you all enjoyed, and I hope to see you guys next week. I will see you guys later.